Good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Today, I'll be reading us Psalm 103. If you're using a Bible, you can find it on page 879. Of David. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows it over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul.
Well, thank you so much, Lockie. And please do keep that passage open in front of you if you've got a Bible in front of you, either paper or on your phone. Let me pray before we get into God's word. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we get to call you Father because of your Son Jesus and your Spirit. Father, we pray that you will remind us again today of what it means to be human, of what it means to be your children, and the great hope that we have in you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, of course, today being Father's Day is a celebration of fathers and all things fatherhood. And a good thing too, because of course, being a dad is actually a great thing. It's a fun thing. And if you're a father, I hope today you are made to feel valued and welcomed and that, you know, all of those kind of good things. But, you know, just for a moment, I also want to just acknowledge that being a dad can also be really hard. Being a dad's a hard thing. See, because there's huge pressure and expectation on dads. So there's the pressure and expectation to be a good father. You know, you've got to be available for the kids and kind and always calm, but also firm and ready to take them to sport and to be there for the big moments, etc. You've got to be a good dad. But of course, there's also the pressures of work and work around the house. Lots of us who are dads also on top of that work 40 to 50 hours a week with all the stresses and strains that brings, as well as the work around the house that needs doing on weekends, fixing things, mowing the lawn, turning the internet on and off because it kind of broke down in the storm. That's what I spent some of my morning doing. And then on top of that, you know, kind of being there for the kids and also working your day job and kind of pruning the roses or whatever, there's also all the self-care that we're meant to do these days. You know, you've also got to do a lot of self-care. So, you know, on top of all this stuff, I'm told I now need to exercise. I mean, who would have thought a 47-year-old man? Like, who would have thought that I can't just eat whatever I like and not move? No, now I'm told I have to find 30 minutes a day to exercise. I don't know when you do that. And that's all so that I can fight the dreaded dad bod. No one wants a dad bod, and you've got to get rid of it. And that means nowadays, I also gather, I also need to completely avoid carbohydrates. Has anyone heard that here? You know, carbohydrates. I mean, honestly, you read things nowadays, it's like bread is the new cyanide. You know, if I have a piece of toast, you know, I'm going to self-combust or something. You know, you've got to exercise, but you don't just need to just exercise. You've also got to sleep. I mean, I'm told you're meant to sleep 8 hours a night or you'll burst into flames. And then on top of that, you've got to be a good dad. You've got to work 40 to 50 hours a week. You've got to mow the lawn. You've got to exercise. You've got to sleep for 8 non-existent hours. And then also you're supposed to have friends. Now, men, friends, they're people who aren't relatives that you hang out with. You're supposed to make the time to kind of have all of these sort of things. But if any people know, and it's not just dads who know this, sometimes finding the time for friends is really hard. But particularly if you're a man and particularly if you're a dad. There's the old joke. You know, Jesus' biggest miracle was being a man with 12 close friends in his 30s. All I'm saying is that being a dad is hard because there's huge expectations on dads to be doing really well in all sorts of areas of life. But here's where it gets hard, because so many of us feel like we're doing a bad job in all of them. We feel like we're doing a bad job as a dad. You know, you just never have time to do all the things that your kids want you to do or that you're told you should be doing. You know, you're constantly having to say no to kind of board games or bike rides with them because you've got other things to do. But then you also feel like you're not necessarily doing a great job in your work. Because understandably, if you're a dad, you've sometimes got dad things you need to do. You've got appointments you need to take your kids to, and you need to apologize to your boss, and kind of say, I'm really sorry. And so you kind of feel like you're dropping the ball there as well. And you feel like you're being a bad friend because you don't have time to spend with them because you're too busy raising your kids and doing your job. All I'm saying is that being a dad is hard because of all these pressures and expectations. And we never feel like we're doing a good job in any of them. Now, of course, this feeling of pressure and failure is not unique to dads. Everything I've just said about dads could also be said about mums or people without kids. In other words, all of what I've just said could be said about everyone here. We've all got pressure to perform in areas of life, and I doubt any of us feel like we're killing it in all of them, and so we feel guilty. So what comfort does God have for us in this harried, guilty state? Dads in particular on this Father's Day, but all of us. Well, lots as it turns out. And Psalm 103 is a great example of this. There is huge comfort in this psalm for dads who feel like they're not living up to expectations, but for all of us who feel this way too. Now, of course, Psalm 103 isn't specifically about dads or for dads. It's not as if the editor of Psalms needed something to preach on for Father's Day and so commissioned Psalm 103. But it does say heaps that is relevant to dads and everyone here. And so I hope that'll be helpful for us today. And the first thing this psalm says to dads and all of us who never feel like you're doing enough is you're only human. So it's okay that you're not doing everything or everything perfectly. Listen to verses 13 to 16. They're up on the screen. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. You see, God knows how we're formed. In another translation, it says he knows our frame. He knows we're finite, not infinite. And so he doesn't expect us to be able to do everything or everything perfectly. To be more specific, God knows that you can't be in two places at once. He knows you can't be both at that work thing and picking up the kids from school. You know, when he made you, he didn't make you clonable, capable of being in two places at once. So he's not angry when you're not. He knows there's only so many things you can do in a day. He knows that before school, you can't get the kids breakfast and help them get dressed and brush their teeth and help them with their homework and help them with book week and find their shoes. So he's okay with you not doing all of those things. It's just impossible. He knows that. He knows that you're not able to do everything perfectly and that that has nothing to do with the fall. That not every mistake is a result of our fallenness. Sometimes it's just a result of our finiteness. So I am fully convinced that Adam and Eve, before the fall, still sometimes made mistakes. That before the fall, Eve sometimes still lost her phone and Adam burnt the toast. Because not every mistake is a result of our fallenness. It's just our finiteness. In a world of multiple things to do, you can't do everything perfectly. You will just sometimes drop the ball. So sometimes you will forget things, not because you're thoughtless or selfish, just because your brain has limited RAM. There's only so much it can hold. And God made it that way. In other words, you're only human. And because God knows that, he doesn't blame you for things that are the product of that. He has compassion on you in your finiteness. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. He doesn't expect us to be able to do everything or be in two places at once or never make an honest mistake, because that's not how he made us. I mean, think about it this way, those of us here today who are dads. Do you expect your kids to be able to do everything perfectly? You know, to never drop a plate on the way to the sink? To have written a novel by the time they're three? You know, is there no leeway in your approach to them that takes into account their finiteness, that they get tired and hungry, or just that they're little? Of course there is. They're just kids and you know it. So what makes you think that God is any less compassionate to you in your finiteness than you are to your own kids? I mean, the psalm makes exactly this argument. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Just like human dads have compassion on our children, we know how they're formed, that they're limited. So God, our Father, has compassion on us because he knows the same about us. So, don't be too hard on yourself. Don't beat yourself up. Whoever you are, dad or otherwise, for things you couldn't possibly do anyway. There's only so much you can do in life. You're not infinite. If you are a dad, there's only so much you can do for your kids and your wife and your work and your friends. So don't feel guilty when you can't do it all. You're never meant to. You're only human. So go easy on yourself. And that goes for all of us, not just dads. And as a side note, kids, if you're listening, go easy on your dear old dad, won't you? And it's very easy for kids to judge our dads, especially, if I might say, and attention teenagers, especially if you're a teenager. Let me be really honest here. If you're a teenager here today, you probably think your dad is an idiot. He is so embarrassing. He knows absolutely nothing. And you cannot believe how he forgot that you have soccer training today when you mentioned it to him in passing 3 months ago while he was talking to your sister. I mean, how dumb can you be? Now, trust me, this conviction of the idiocy of your father, this will probably change with age. You will gradually realize that your dad might have known more than you think he does now. There's this great quote from Mark Twain who said, "When I was 14, I thought my dad was an idiot. When I turned 21, I couldn't believe how much he'd learnt in 7 years. So go easy on him now. Yes, he is not perfect, but he's probably trying his best, and he's only human just like you. The point is that God never made us to be able to do everything, so we shouldn't feel guilty when we can't. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. So don't be too hard on yourself. You're only human. But you're still human. That is, with all of this said, you're only human, there's only so much you can do. You are still human and you still have responsibilities. Yes, some of your failures will be caused by your finiteness, but some of our failures will be caused by our sinfulness, won't they? You know, you're only human, but you're still human and you were made to be more than you currently are. You and me, all of us, are not off the hook just because we're limited. I think you see that somewhere else in the psalm. So the opening verses, 1-3. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. You see, he praises the Lord for forgiving our sins, but that assumes we sin in the first place. That is, we're not just finite people made of dust. We're also fallen people who actively do the wrong thing sometimes and need forgiving for it. Or verses 8 to 12. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Yes, the Lord is slow to anger. He won't always accuse, and he doesn't always treat us as our sins deserve. But that assumes, doesn't it, that he's got something to get angry about when it does come to us. That he has something to accuse us for, that we have sins that deserve punishment. And I think that's actually a very helpful corrective to the self-pity that can creep into us as dads when we're under pressure. You see, yes, I'm only human, and yes, I can only do so much, and yes, that's sometimes just the result of my finiteness, but it's not always. Sometimes it's just flat-out sin. And I can't ignore that. You know, speaking to dads specifically, we will do the wrong thing by our kids sometimes. We will shout at them and let them down and put too much pressure on them. And that's wrong. That's not just I'm tired. That's I'm wrong. And we've got to ask forgiveness for that, both from them and from God. That's why for some of us here in this room today, you can't just go easy on your dad. Because for some of us, our dads weren't just finite. They were bad dads. And that's caused a lot of us pain. Pain that you still may carry to this day. If that's you, I'm so sorry. But leaving dads aside altogether for a moment, that's all of us, isn't it? Not just finite, but fallen. You know, we say, oh, I'm just venting, but really, we're gossiping. Or I say, oh, I just really need this right now, but really, I'm just selfish. You see, there's something not just frail about our frame, there's something bent, isn't there? Something that's gone wrong. Humans are not just dust. There's a part of us that's also bile. And yet, to all of us in our fallenness and sin, God says, I can still forgive you. He forgives all our sins, verse 3. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities, verse 10. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our sins from us. Now, how can he do this? I mean, isn't God fair? How can he let us off the hook? The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed, says verse 6. How can God work justice for those that we've hurt and still forgive us? Because he's taken that punishment on himself and offered to accept that as payment if we'll ask for it. 300 years after this psalm was written, a prophet called Isaiah said a man would come who, though we have transgressed, Isaiah 53, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. 700 years after that, the New Testament says that was Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, that's what he was doing, taking the punishment we deserve for our sins. Peter, one of Jesus' best friends, puts it this way, quoting Isaiah 53. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. And all you've got to do to get the benefit of that, the forgiveness and the healing that Jesus' sacrifice offers, is ask for it. You can't pay for it. We're all too far gone. But you don't need to pay for it because it's free. And that's what Jesus offers us. A clean slate. And any of us can come for it today if we want it. You're only human. That's good to remember. But you are still human. And you've all got to face up to that. So do I. But Jesus died for us, finite and fallen people. And he offers to take all of the things that we regret in parenting or anything and to take them and move them as far away from us as the east is from the west. And wherever you are in life, whether you're a father or a mother or you're not a parent, any of us, that is the best possible news that any of us can hear on this Father's Day or any day. So why don't we pray? Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you know how you made us. You know that we're dust. You know that we're just finite. And so you don't hold us to impossible standards. Father, for those of us who set too high standards for ourselves, Father, we pray that you'll help us remember this. But Father, we are still sinful. We're still responsible, and we know it. Father, please forgive us for that. And yet thank you so much for sending your only Son, Jesus, to take all the punishment for that, so that if we accept that on our behalf, we can have all that guilt and that regret and those mistakes taken away from us as far as the east is from the west. Father, and if we haven't done that business with you yet in our lives, Father, we pray that we would do it even now so we can accept you as our loving Father who will never let us down and will always love us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to continue to pray and then we're going to sing.